Radio Prague News.
The Czech government has approved new austerity measures to keep the budget deficit below 3% of GDP. The Czech ombudsman has asked MPs to change several laws relating to the unemployed, foreigners, debtors and other groups. And former Prime Minister Jan Fischer and economist Jan Švejnár top the ladder of potential presidential candidates, a new poll suggests. The Czech government on Wednesday approved new austerity measures that should keep the deficit of the state budget below 3% of the country's GDP. As of next year, the VAT rates will increase by 1% to 21 and 15% respectively, while income tax will rise from 15 to 20%. For 3 years, those with monthly salaries over 100,000 crowns will pay a 7% solidarity tax. The government has also removed a ceiling for health insurance payments, while pensions will grow in a slower pace. In 2013, the government aims at a deficit of 2.9% of GDP, while in the following year the deficit should drop to 1.9% of the gross domestic product. The new austerity measures were approved by the coalition leaders on Wednesday in a deal to ensure the continuation of the government. Czech ombudsman Pavel Varvařovský on Wednesday recommended lawmakers to implement changes in several laws relating to the unemployed, foreigners as well as public employees. Mr. Varvařovský said that MPs should remove a measure requiring some unemployed to regularly report to post offices. The measure, which was introduced earlier this year in an attempt to crack down on illegal employment, contradicted human dignity, according to the ombudsman. Mr. Varvařovský also criticized what he called fast-track extraditions of foreigners at Prague's Ruzyně airport, as well as the lack of legislation governing public employees' labor contracts. Former Prime Minister Jan Fischer and economist Jan Švejnár remain favorites in direct presidential elections, according to a new poll by the Factum in Venio agency released on Wednesday. If the elections were held in late March or early April, Jan Fischer would receive 23.3% of the vote, while Jan Švejnár would get 17.2%. Another former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman would come in third with 10%, while Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg would finish fourth with 8.3% of the vote. Direct presidential elections will be for the first time held next year to elect the successor of Václav Klaus. Around one-third of Czechs do not want gays, foreigners and people of different skin color as neighbors, suggests a new poll by the STEM agency released on Wednesday. The results also show that some 86% of Czechs would not like to live next door to drug addicts, while 78% of those polled would not want alcoholics as their neighbors. Also, around 12% of Czechs do not want to live next to rich people. Around 30 writers, publishers and students paid homage to the late writer Josef Škvorecký at the Josef Škvorecký Secondary School in Prague on Wednesday. The school hosts a non-stop reading of books published by Mr. Škvorecký in his exile publishing house, 68 publishers. Josef Škvorecký left Czechoslovakia in 1969 and settled in Toronto, where he published books by Czech authors banned by the communist regime. He died in January at the age of 87. In tennis, Czech Fed Cup team captain Petr Pála on Wednesday announced the nominations for the semifinals of the women's team event, in which the Czech Republic will play Italy. Petr Pála selected Petra Kvitová and Lucie Šafářová for the singles, while Lucie Hradecká and Andrea Hlaváčková will play the doubles. The semifinals are scheduled for 21st and 22nd of April in Ostrava. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days will be mostly overcast with rain showers. Daytime highs should range between 10 and 14 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Terán, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, the government has reaffirmed its commitment to extensive fiscal reforms. The cultural event Czech Open is currently underway in London, and later on in the program we go to market in our newest edition of our feature Marketplace. All that coming up, so do stay with us. The center-right Czech government weathered the latest in a series of crises on Tuesday, putting aside its differences in the interest of what the prime minister called its sole raison d'être, putting the country's finances in order. The three parties reaffirmed their commitment to implementing budget savings and tax hikes, which should bring the budget deficit below 3% of GDP next year and down to 1.9% in 2014. Daniela Lazarova has the details.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas had good reason to celebrate on Tuesday night as he told the nation that the crisis was over and the government was ready to go back to the drawing board. The Prime Minister, who last week firmly rejected an ultimatum from the smallest party in government, pressed home his advantage, giving little and getting a renewed pledge from all three parties that they would support far-reaching austerity measures in the years to come.
The main purpose of this government is to implement its key policy goals, that is to install fiscal discipline and bring the country's finances under control. Should this commitment be brought to question at any point in the future, it will mean that the government has no reason to continue in office, even for a minute longer.
In order to implement its goals, the government will need to save 56 billion crowns in 2013, which would bring the budget deficit to 2.9% of the GDP, and 95 billion crowns the following year, cutting the gap in public finances to 1.9%. Approximately two-thirds of the money that needs to be saved would come from spending cuts, the rest from higher taxes. The austerity measures include a 1% hike in both VAT rates, higher taxes on cigarettes, energy and earnings in tax havens. People earning over 100,000 crowns per month, that is approximately four times the average salary, would pay another 7% tax from the exceeding amount in what is being called a solidarity contribution. Pensions will grow at a slower pace. University students will have to pay entrance fees of 3,500 crowns for every new semester to make up for the rejected annual tuition fees. The state will pay lower social benefits and there will be fewer tax reliefs for entrepreneurs. Extensive spending cuts will be affected in the public sphere, including a merging of some government portfolios and scrapping of some ministries. The ruling parties say they have spread the austerity measures across the board so that all groups of the population will bear the burden. However, the opposition Social Democrats, who have pushed strongly for early elections in the past week, claim the government's extended lease on life is the worst possible news for the Czech Republic. They say the savings are not as high as they are made out to be and that the austerity measures proposed will hurt the country's already flagging growth. However, their chances of stopping the reforms are meagre. Despite the frequent spats and upheavals, the government's commitment to budget reform is strong and its comfortable majority in the lower house will allow it to push through whatever reforms it agrees on. Also, the party's low public support ratings have made early elections a highly unwelcome prospect for them all, paradoxically making the most unpopular government in modern Czech history the most stable of them all.
That was Daniela Lazarova with the newest developments in the government. Thanks for that, Daniela. Czech Open 2012 is a cultural season in London that began last month and will last through to August, also during the Summer Olympic Games. Organized by the Czech Center in London, the season offers a variety of programs in the borough of Islington, including an exhibition called Coal and Steel and Disorient Express, which is set to open, and a street art project being worked on now by two Czech and British artists. A little earlier, Jan Wellinger spoke to Ladislav Flimfl, the head of the Czech Center in London.
2012 is pretty much significant indeed. It is because the Olympic Games are bringing a lot of opportunities for cultural institutions to present their artists. London is going to be one large festival of art and communities and sports. And the Czech Center also is organizing a number of events that are celebrating the Games and involvement of artists and communities in the celebration of sport and human spirit, if you like.
Let me ask you specifically about Czech Open 2012. That was launched in March. It lasts through to August. What are some of the things that we can hope to see or that we will see in that program?
There are programs and events that you can already see around London. We have about 15 locations and about 11 flagship projects of Czech Open. It's a season that is covering visual arts, films, street art, and we're also showing a lot of design and architecture. At the moment, we are working hard on an exhibition that opens only tomorrow, and it's an exhibition that brings together 15 Czech and British contemporary artists who are exhibiting work that refers to modernism and steam engines and shared fascination by trains. It's a charity feature that involves about 40 contemporary Czech and British artists. They were given small model trains, carriages, and they rework them individually by their own inspiration and preferred technique. And we collected the trains, and we will show the trains around in London, in Prague, back in London during the Games at the Czech Olympic House. And at the end of the Games, there will be a public auction with all the proceeds supporting a local Islington charity that works with disabled kids and socially disadvantaged youth and provides access to sports for them. That's an exhibition where we ask all the British artists and Czech artists to refer to a shared visual heritage. And the centerpiece of that debate is a painting by František Kupka from 1912. It's a painting that's exactly 100 years old. And it was one of the founding paintings of abstraction and modernism. It's called Amorf. And it's also a painting that inspired the visual style and visual design of Czech Olympic team that is going to participate at the London Games. There's a very clear idea of the Czech and British scene being able to communicate and exchange their ideas. And we very much look forward to see what's going to come out in the next weeks.
Now, one thing I'd like to ask about also is the street art aspect. One of the artists taking part is Basta Oner. That's his working name, his artist's name. Could we talk about his contribution?
Certainly. There's a beautiful public space in central London in the borough of Islington where the Czech Olympic House is going to be located. And it's a place where you've got, on one side, you've got a canal, you know, a bit of water with a public school with a lot of kids. And then we put large boards on the wall, 3 by 4 meters, 3 pieces. And we invited 2 Czech visual artists and 1 local UK artist to create a street piece for us, street art piece. And they've been working on it since last night. They brought a power generator, LCD projectors, computers. They were screening an image on the boards last night, creating very fine lines and etchings. And in the next 3 days, they'll have scaffolding and lots of support and colors and help us to create 3 original street art pieces that are going to be unveiled on Thursday on the same night when the joint arts exhibition is going to open, and we hope to attract a lot of members of the public and also people who follow street art in London.
Czech Center Director Ladislav Flimful was talking to Jan Wellinger there. Thanks for that, Jan. And now in this edition of Marketplace, our newest feature, we go to an actual outdoor market. I braved the cold Easter weather this past Saturday and visited one of the city's popular farmers markets on Prague's Jiří Hospodě-Brat Square. I spoke to one of the organizers, as well as shoppers and farmers. At the most recent farmers market on Prague's Jiří Hospodě-Brat Square, a band was playing for those market goers who came out despite the cold and grey weather. Surprisingly many, actually. Since their introduction in Prague some 2 years ago, farmers markets have been a hit with the Czech capital's residents. Jiří Sedláček, who organizes 3 such markets at different locations across Prague, had the inspiration to bring back this lost tradition when he returned to the Czech Republic from a holiday in Switzerland. He approached officials at City Hall who asked him to design a concept and come up with possible locations for outdoor markets.
Takže jsme jich vytipovali 26 na mnohých těch místech, která jsme vytipovali.
So we came up with 26 of them, and in many of those places today farmers markets are being held. First we opened the one on Kubanské náměstí in May 2010. Then in June we opened the one near the Vltava River on the Náplavka or pier, and then this market here on Vinohrady's Jiří Hospodě-Brat Square in September of 2010. So it was in a matter of a few months that we opened the 3 markets we organized today. We really did not expect that it would be that successful, such a boom, and grow to be such a big thing.
To jsme vůbec nečekali. Byli jsme strašně mile překvapeni nad tím, jak se to neuvěřitelně rozrostlo.
Well, exact sales figures of his farmers markets are impossible to compile. Jiří Sedláček's organization Farmářské tržiště rents out stands to individual farmers and they do not report their sales to him. The number of visitors has remained stable following the first boom. Some 3,000 to 4,000 people come each day that the market operates, which is on Wednesdays from 8 to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays from 8 to 2 p.m. In addition, other organizations host farmers markets in the capital. Across the country, there are nearly 200 different weekly farmers markets, and their number has been growing. Despite a rain shower and unseasonably cold weather, the market I recently visited was rather crowded. I asked some shoppers what brings them here.
Because like usually you can find some bio food, some bio vegetables and fresh fish. Yesterday I bought just a great fish here and I like the music also, you know, it's nice like on Saturday morning.
And are you glad that these markets are quite new? They've only existed for about 2 years. Are you glad that we finally have this in Prague?
Yes, I'm glad that we finally have this in Prague. I was waiting for it for a long time because I know these markets from other countries in Europe. But I think there is still room for improvement, especially for the vegetables. There could be more kinds of vegetables.
Why do you come to the farmers market and what did you just buy?
I have some onion and some garlic and potatoes because it's from Czech farmers and I really, really like it. It's gorgeous when you can buy something in a different shop, not in Tesco, just some this shop.
And can you tell that the quality is better?
Yeah, I can smell it. I can feel it in my mouth. It's something different when I eat something like that.
Despite their popularity, the farmers markets were not spared their share of food scandals. In recent weeks, cases of vendors selling supermarket herbs or Polish tomatoes under the label of quality Czech food made headlines in the local media. The State Veterinary Administration, a part of the Ministry of Agriculture in charge of quality assurance of agricultural goods, last year controlled some 232 markets and found some 74 cases in which the quality of products was not up to par. However, such incidents are usually isolated, say those who operate the markets. How do organizers deal with black sheep? I put the question to Mr. Sedláček.
Setkali jsme se s tím, snažili jsme se to řešit velmi důrazně, velmi razantně.
We try to solve these cases in a very clear and quick way. As soon as we find out that a vendor is selling goods that don't fulfill the standards we have agreed upon with them in our contract, we take it off the stands, and should something similar happen again, we may choose to ban the vendor from operating at our markets. This has only happened in isolated cases, but we reacted quickly. We want our markets to offer goods of traceable origin and impeccable quality.
Aby ta naše farmářská tržiště byla opravdu z hlediska původu toho zboží, jeho kvality.
Czech farmers have welcomed the arrival of the markets. Many say that they are finally able to get fair prices for their goods since they no longer have to rely on wholesale clients and big chain stores to purchase their goods. One such farmer is Ivan Kostka, who sells vegetables in Prague almost every week.
Pěstujeme to celý život, jsme se s tím živili.
I've been doing this all my life, and by now it is more a question of persisting than anything else. So I also brought my children up to be farmers. We don't grow rich. The money we make here is about enough to survive. I would really welcome it if the Ministry of Agriculture supported us farmers more. Without us, there would be nothing but weeds growing in the country.
Mr. Sedláček says that especially farmers with small farms welcomed the arrival of the markets. Previously, they had difficulties finding a market for their goods, he says.
Tak, já si myslím, že se spousta...
I think that a lot of small farms and small-scale farmers and producers have been able to recover from bad business conditions in the past thanks to the farmers' markets. They have found a new way to sell their goods, and that has been the problem in the past. Big corporations and chains do not buy goods from such farmers for two reasons. First of all, they are not able to deliver the volume that these wholesale clients require, and secondly, because they offer them very low prices, which are not lucrative for them. So at the market, they skip the middlemen, they can offer their customers a fair price, and they can get direct customer feedback. If you sell cheese and a shopper tells you that the cheese is too salty, then as a vendor you can react to that immediately and add less salt next time.
Aside from being open for regular market business nearly year-round, Sedláček's network of farmers' markets also holds special events that highlight seasonal produce from the Czech Republic.
Tak třeba na náplavce budeme vytvářet takzvaný food court, kde vlastně budou soustředěna všechna občerstvení.
On the Náplavka we want to create a sort of food court where all the snacks and meals will be concentrated. So after shopping, the market goers can have a coffee or a meal for a fair price. Then we have different celebrations, for example, the festival of Czech asparagus on April 21st. Then we have a rose wine event in May, and then a microbrew festival in Žižkov in Parukarka Park, where the visitors can sample all kinds of artisan beers, and that will take place on June 8th and 9th.
Na Parukářce, taký park na Žižkově, a to bude 8. a 9. června.
While there may be room for improvement, one thing is certain. The farmers' markets are here to stay. That was our newest edition of Marketplace, in which I went to one of the city's farmers markets. That brings us to the end of our regular program, I'm afraid. But we are, of course, rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our popular Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the last short series on Czech idioms about nature. We are closing the cycle with a string of lessons on wild flora. And today we start with grass.
Tráva,
a word which is very similar in all Slavonic languages. Like many nations, the Czechs too are envious about the English lawn.
Anglický trávník.
Which no one but the English is ever capable of growing. Anyway, Czechs tend to call any decently trimmed lawn an English lawn. About clumsy or disaster-prone people, who tend to mess everything up, we can say
kam šlápne, tam 100 let tráva neroste.
Wherever he steps, grass doesn't grow for 100 years, meaning he brings bad luck to whatever he touches. In the following idiom, grass stands for unimportance and short-livedness.
Světská sláva, polní tráva.
Worldly fame is just like grass in the field. Fame is unimportant, it will fade away, and one should not pay much attention to it. If someone is paranoid, we can say he or she hears grass grow.
Slyší trávu růst.
He or she reads too much into things. It has nothing to do with the English saying to watch grass grow, meaning something really boring. This idiom does not have an equivalent in Czech. Czech uses several versions similar to the English idiom. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Czechs usually use it when they remember their youth or a place they liked. When I was young, even the grass was greener.
Když jsem byl mladý, i tráva byla zelenější.
The Czech word for dried grass, hay, is
seno.
A very common ailment traditionally bothering people in the haymaking season is
sena rýma,
hay fever, or literally hay cold. About stupid people, Czechs can say
má v hlavě seno.
He has got hay inside his head. He has nothing between the ears. And finally, an expression used both in Czech and English is
jehla v kupce sena.
A needle in a haystack. Something impossible to find, just like a needle in a haystack would be. And that's all for today's lesson. We'll be back next time with more Czech idioms about wild plants. Join us again if you can.
Naschledanou!
Vlahoráková with ABC wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. But please tell us if you have any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. The postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at english@radio.cz, or you can find us on Facebook, where we have a profile under the username Radio Prague, and you can always leave us comments on our wall. We very much appreciate it and read it every day. As always, everything you've heard on the show can also be found at our website, radio.cz. There you can discover a huge archive of reports in both audio and text form, and also sign up for a free news email or use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.